Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's time to speak from the heart. I love the move of God. There's a move of God. The Holy Spirit is working to solve so many problems in our lives. And the primary way that he does it is that he, as his people walk in the light, they represent parts of God's wisdom, parts of God's grace, parts of God's mercy. As we grow into the mature image of Jesus Christ, we increase in the way that we represent the Lord. When a baby Christian is just starting out and they love God, even though they may make mistakes, people can tell they're trying to do right. All men can judge between good and evil. And when you start your journey with the Lord, you become a living representation of who he is. They can see that his handiwork is on your life. And then the Lord anoints people to introduce God's people to more and more things. There are different anointings for different reasons. You know, there are five different, there's a fivefold ministry provided by the Holy Spirit. And each type of minister has the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, the knowledge of the Lord, might, and the fear of the Lord. And the Lord will give us whatever we need to perform the calling that he's given us. See, what he calls us to be, that's by the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God wrote it to where he left it up to the Holy Spirit. It's good, you know, Paul told Timothy that it's a good thing that a man desire to be the office of a bishop. But he ended saying that, leaving it up to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is, he guides us to all truth. He's the conductor. He gives us the gifts and callings that we need, that he wants us to operate in. And he does it according to the will and purpose of God. Everybody's got their own design. And in this broadcast, I want to clear up some myths about the anointing and even the callings of God. And before we do, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, I love a scriptural reference. When I make decisions, I want all of my decisions to be biblical, and I want them to be as biblical as possible. And I know that I don't know everything, but I can do a perfect work. The more I yield to the Lord, the more perfect the work that I do can be, just like anybody else. Okay, but the Word of God is the primary, ultimate guideline. If we stick with the Word, we'll be fine. We'll do a perfect work. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Back when Paul wrote this, Gentile, you know, that the way they didn't worship God, they worshiped idols in place of God. Verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. Verse 5, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." Verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." See, you can have a different calling, and the format can change. You'll still be doing the work of that calling, but the way you do it, the diversities of operations, And people try to traditionalize and categorize their ministry, and it won't work for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you your format. We're going to talk more about that later. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That's the purpose of it. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, these are the nine gifts of the Spirit. And in my ministry, the gift of prophecy operates, discerning of spirits, and the word of wisdom. Now, the word of knowledge, some people have the word of knowledge. They can tell you what you wore, where you were, when you said such and such, and when somebody else did something. They saw it in a vision. They can explain and describe things in detail. That's the word of knowledge. It's looking back at what happened in the past. Now, the word of wisdom, I was taught that's for the future. That's the Lord give me things to give people so that they can make the perfect choice in the future. A word of wisdom is follow God. You know, now I've had the Lord to give me a word of knowledge, and then in the writing he gave me, I saw what was going on in the church because he gave that to me. He gave me the word of knowledge. I didn't operate in the word of knowledge. He explained something. I knew what was happening. Then he had me to write the word of wisdom. Now, the Lord does how he wants. I just follow him. And sometimes I don't know why. I just go with it. But if God, I'm like this. If God is doing something, that's important enough for me to obey him. And if I want to know, I just ask him. But that's how he did it. Now, Jesus operated in seven of the nine because the gifts of tongues and interpretation, that came after he ascended. All right, so he operated in all the gifts except tongues and interpretation of tongues. In other words, I have no scriptural reference where Jesus spoke in tongues and interpreted one. Even though on the cross he said he spoke something in another language, but he knew many languages anyway. All right, verse 12. With verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit divided to every man, watch this, severally as he wills. Alright? It's not up to, I didn't ask for any gift. It just started working in my ministry. I didn't even concern myself with gifts. I just went about doing what he gave me, being faithful with what I already had. And the word of prophecy started coming, and the word of wisdom. And then discerning of spirit started operating in my ministry. And it started before the word of wisdom, that I, as far as I know. All right. Verse 13. For by the one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we're baptized in him. For the body is not one member, but many. We're one body, but we're many members. And if we operate according to the Holy Spirit, we operate in sync with other members. And I just like operatives and soldiers that they're in different places doing different things, serving one goal. And they're operatives. That's how the body of Christ works. We do one work, but many people are doing their parts of that one work. As long as we got by the Holy Spirit, it all works together. God will give me a message, then somebody hear it, be blessed, and then he'll give it to somebody else, the same message, and I don't know them, they don't know me, never heard of me, and it blesses people. That's why on the radio, the ministers that minister the same thing, we don't know what the other minister's going to preach. And I noticed that, like, on Saturday morning, I come on at 9 o'clock, the lady to come on after me, she'll tag my message almost every time. Somebody that preaches will say some of the things that the Lord had me saying on that particular day. That's because the Holy Spirit is guiding us. Now, you know, even though they're pre-recorded messages, God is in control of it. He knows who's going to listen. He knows what audience is going to listen. And he'll give her what to say because God is looking at the people that's going to be faithful. I was blessed by Pastor Lynn Lawson. He pastors at the church in Gardendale. And this was back in the 80s, or late 80s, early 90s. He was on the air back then. And he said something peculiar, but I found it to be certainly true. I knew it was true when he preached it. He needed a certain amount of money, and he believed God for it. He went to his mailbox, and it was in, and he had a check written for that amount of money. I don't know what kind of check it was, but he had the check. It may have been an income tax check. I forgot. It was a big check, and it was the perfect amount that he needed. And the Lord spoke to him and said, when you have a need, always believe me. I can honor your faith yesterday. See, the Lord looks into the future. He can see through time. Man can't do it without God, without God's assistance. If the Lord show you something, then he can prepare you for what's going to happen. All right? The Lord always honors our faith. Our prayer of faith means a lot to the Lord, and he's going to honor your faith just like he honored Jesus' faith. As long as you don't turn it off, and the enemy tries to get you to turn it off, don't turn it off. He believed God. God honored his faith. He didn't know that God was going to do it that day. But the Lord said, always believe me. I can honor your faith yesterday. And he did. And that helped me. It helped. I preached it. And, you know, I took it as a serious word from the Lord, and I ministered it. And it's true. He can move. You know, God is good. And obeying God, you're in the realm to find out what God can do. All right. Verse 13. For by the one Spirit are ye baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Jews and the Gentiles are included. Male, female, everybody who believes on Jesus is included. And the Holy Spirit can guide us in all truth. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. Now, there are different gifts. There are different callings, different administrations, different operations of the members of the body of Christ, the church. The church is God's people who believed on Jesus. Now, with that being understood, God can not only give us those gifts and callings, but he also created us with a purpose. We have different attributes in our makeup. We are a creation. We're not just sons and daughters. Some people qualify for certain duties from the Lord because they may be patient. Some may qualify because they're strong in their heart and they're people of faith. They're the kind of people that get things done. See, when the Lord qualify people and give people something to do, when the day he called them, they have operated in wisdom, just like King Saul did. King Saul showed himself responsible. He went all the way to the prophet trying to find his father's donkeys. All right, sometimes it wasn't just because he was tall and strong. It was because he saw things through, and he was the best choice for the king. All right, When God gives you an assignment or something to do, it's because you fit that assignment, your personality, your the creativity that God made in you. And then when he gives you the anointing and the calling and the gifts to do it, make sure you do it because you're well able and you qualify more than other people. The thing that God gave me to do, there may have been somebody more qualified than me, but they may have been reluctant when the Lord was looking for somebody to do what he's given me to do. And I know that's the truth because years ago, the Lord had an anointing he was trying to give somebody. And the first choice didn't do it. The second choice didn't do it. The third choice wouldn't do it. So he found the fourth choice did it. Now, everybody don't always obey. And the first choice is the best. They'll do better. So God knows who's who. And when he comes to you, don't drop the ball. Do what God gives you to do. Surrender. Write him that blank check. You know, God gave us an open-end check. We can ask him whatever we will if we abide in him. Be obedient. Writing the blank check is just submitting to the will of God, confessing that you will obey all that's in his heart. Whatever he gives you to do, you're determined to make it happen. Now, don't be afraid to launch out and do what God said do. He's with you. All right? Verse 20. But now, are there many members yet but one body? We covered that. Verse 23. To those members of the body. I start back at 21. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. With God, everybody is very necessary, every part. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon thee we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the body should have the same care one for another. Now, when one minister falls, I'm not against that man. I'm angry because that's part of me. He's part of the body of Christ. If something happens against him, it hurts me. See, the enemy tries to change our focus into competition. It's not about competition. Our race is not against each other. We're not trying to outdo each other. Our race is against time. The race we run is against time. Our enemy is Satan. He's trying to stop us and put hazards in our way. We're not racing against each other, fellow members of the body. I've heard of how ministers try to take members from other churches because they think they can do a better job. That's not godly. That's not godly. Now, if a pastor go rogue and Lord send people away, or sometimes he'll send people different places for different reasons. He can do that. That's good. And when he does, he usually tells everybody involved. So that, you know, Scott Webb said one time, if you have to leave a ministry, leave right. I mean, it made so much sense. Just leave right. Do it right. Let them know why you're leaving and what God has given you to do. Leave with a blessing. Don't just leave. I mean, really, we ought to treat each other like God treats us no different. All right, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, that's talking about the gifts. Everybody with the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues. We can pray in the Holy Spirit. But the gift of tongues is different than praying in the tongues. Or when the Holy Spirit first comes upon you, you will speak in tongues. That's different from the gift of tongues. When the Holy Spirit came on me, I prayed and I spoke in tongues. That was a sign to me that he was upon me. And then when I pray and don't know what to pray, I pray in tongues. Like Apostle Paul explained in chapter 14. But the gift of tongues, I don't have that, but I know people that do. Verse 13, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you more in more excellent way. So the Lord will open up, you know, he'll open the doors we need. He'll give us the gifts we need. But it's up to us to just yield to the Holy Spirit so that we can operate in his perfect will. Now, when a man is anointed, that doesn't mean that he knows whatever his education level is. The anointing doesn't change that. It depends on what he's anointed for. If you're anointed to preach, the Lord will give, he will teach you things because you're anointed, but you got to learn them. You got to believe what God is saying to you, what he's bringing to you. You got to be receptive to it. If you have the anointing, the Lord is going to teach you some things, even though you don't pray for it. The knowledge will come to you, but you have to invite it in your heart. You have to, the things that the Lord bring to me, the needs that he showed me, the things, the teachings that I need, he just, out of the blue, I'm working, I'm minding my own business, and the Lord has just started talking about something. All right? Those are the things I put on the top shelf. That's what I'm going to need to do my next step. Whatever he's given me about my ministry or about his word, whatever he's training me to do and learn, then I believe it and I receive it. And then he instructs me what to do with it. And I didn't know it before he gave it to me. And there are many examples. Isaiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord came to me saying. It didn't say that they were seeking the Lord for the next step. The word of the Lord came to them. They didn't go to the Lord about the next word. The word of the Lord came to them. Now, I'm required by God. If I got problems in my life, I'm supposed to go in the Word and solve it biblically. Now, that's my responsibility. I know I got a problem. I know I got this pain. I know I got this problem. I want my marriage to be better. I want to raise my children better. I see things that are lacking, and I want to solve the problem. All right? It's my responsibility when I know something's not right or I want something better, to believe God's word and get the healing done. Why? The stronger my life is, the more I can do for the Lord. The healthier my marriage is, the more we can do for the Lord. The healthier my children are, the better they'll be ready to do whatever God wants them to do. It's my responsibility to train them so that they can do what God wants them to do. And I can, and let allowing problems to remain is not, that's not my option. I'm not doing it. I'm going to do it God's way. Now, even though I'm anointed, the anointing doesn't solve all my problems. If I need money, I got to go and work. And some people say, well, if you're anointed, God will take care of you. Faith without works is dead. Now, a lot of times people try to coerce people into giving money into that ministry so they can, so they'll be able to do God's will or live a good life. It depends on the need. If you got a, if you have a ministry and you have many members and people, it takes money to run a church. I'm not knocking that. That's true. But in it, what stage are you in? All right. If the church is barely making it, barely paying the bills, there's nothing wrong with working. And some people are not, they are not, the Lord, to get you, to get your anointing where the people are, the Lord has to use media like television, radio. Now, there's a way to do it. You have to go before the Lord and do it the way God give you. Now, I knew my message was not popular. People not don't just send money to me. I tell people what they don't want to hear. And the Lord blessed me with one lady that, that sends $100 every month, and it really helps. And I, when I first started, and I still do it, I get up early in the morning before I go to work, and I fix cars so I can do the work of God. And I don't mind. On my website, there's an address, a mail, you know, people are welcome to donate, but people don't do that. But I, every now and then on the radio, I give people the information so they can give. And, but, you know, that doesn't happen too much. It's the only one, the lady that sends the money every month, she's consistent. And she said the Lord told her to do it. And I thank God for it. Now, a lot of compromise goes on to get people to give. I don't do that. A lot of selling goes on to get people to get money. I don't knock it. The labor is worthy of his hire. But Jesus did say, freely you receive, freely give. Now, it's everybody got common sense. They know that if you're going to, some things, you know, you got to have money to do it. And he said, tread not the muzzle not the ox that treads your corn. If you do muzzle your ox, the ox is going to get weak and then he's going to die if you don't feed him. And you're going to be out there with a dead ox and too much corn for you to pick with your bare hands. Same thing with the pastor. People that hold back from the Lord. Now, God is not pleased with that. That's not the love of God. If you do what's right by your by the men of God that have blessed your home, that have ministered to your family, because your family is not going to receive everything they need from the Lord from you. Ultimately, optimally they can, but normally they don't. Because the word of God is sown in peace. And parents, children think the way they think, and they know how their parents want them to think, but they do not always agree. That's why you have to paddle up behind sometimes. That's why you have to counsel them sometimes. But other people, the Lord can use others to help your family grow. People that are younger, friends. It's not their responsibility to raise your children. That's your responsibility. But people don't always listen to their parents. Even wives don't always listen to their husbands. And husbands don't always listen to their wives. They'll listen to somebody else. But anyway, anybody that's being a blessing to you, even there are gifts that I don't have that I can't minister to my family. And others can. If you notice, I didn't mention the gifts of healing. Now, Pastor laid hands on me so I could lay hands on others. And I do lay hands on my family members as a Christian. But that's not my primary gift. Now, my pastor laid hands on me, I got here. He laid hands on my wife, she got here. He laid hands on my children, they got here. Now, that's valuable. I'm not going to muzzle him and let him bless me. That's just not right. And in church, we all, if we at least tithe, we're paying the same percent. No matter how much money we make, we're paying the same percent. Now, Pastor Webb said, it's the truth. Numbers don't lie. But when you're anointed, I really didn't get into all that God had given me. The Lord wanted me to clear up some things about the anointing. The anointing gives you an ability to do what you're anointed for. If you want to go forward and propel in a career, you've got to take time and learn that career. The anointing is not going to be a substitute for an education. That's the kind of thing I wanted to say and share. Also, if you need to make a certain amount of money, you got to get an education to do a job or start a business to do that. If you're anointed, you don't have to quit your job, business, and all that. It depends on what God gave you to do, where He wants you to be. There's room for, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The way that the format that He gives you can be totally different than everybody else in the world. If you've gone to school to be a lawyer, a doctor, or an engineer, you have a thriving job, and then the Lord called you to the ministry, you don't have to walk away from all that just to do the ministry. That's what I'm trying to say. The anointing is not a substitute for your life. You have an ability to do something. Now, it's up to you to go to the Lord and ask Him, how do you want this done? And He will give you the format. And if He lets you go through all that training, He's not going to waste it, I'm sure.